Now, today, while we're thinking about important mom words, I was just thinking, and I couldn't help think about Mary. And by the way, you used my scripture, Ephesians 3:20, and you mentioned Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. So what did Mary say to Jesus? What would she have said to Jesus? And, you know, I just went and looked, and she said some things about Jesus, be it done unto me according to thy word and things like that. But actually recorded in the Bible, there's only one thing she said. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. They're out of wine. They're out of wine. That's what's recorded in the Bible. You know, here comes Jesus. They walk up there. He's coming with the five guys that he just won to himself. Yeah. And you know, some people, have you ever known someone, they don't salute you or give a salutation. They just immediately start talking to you. You have some friends like that. I guess it's kind of like Mary was, because here they come in and he's going, hey guys, there's my mom. Let's go say hello to her. I want you to meet her. And she walks right up to you and says, they're out of wine. And she probably had a look on her face. They're out of wine, son. They're out of wine. You know, trying to actually give that impression of you need to do something about it, right? So Jesus was pretty fast on the draw there. He just says, dear woman, don't involve me in this. My time hasn't come. And this is interesting talk between mother and son, don't you think? So they're talking about, they're there at the party and they're talking about this. Can you imagine when you get to heaven and you walk up to Mary and you say, I like what you said in the Bible. They're out of wine. I just think this really interesting that was her way of giving advice. I need you to do something about it. So I'm just going to tell you the problem. They're out of wine. Now, so the culture in those days, the hospitality was a very big thing. There was a lot of spiritual things behind it. So it's very important for things to go right when people come to your house in the East. And so had the groom actually run out of wine, they'd talk about it for years. Yeah, we went to that wedding and, you know, they ran out of wine. Well, I wonder if they're doing any good these days, you know. Anyway, so Jesus actually did come and he saved the day. Let's just back up a little though and look at the whole picture. In the first public miracle, Jesus performed, he did turn the water into wine. That's as simple as we know, right? This is the wedding of Cana, John 2. Okay, now, his mother, Jesus, five disciples, they go to the wedding. Now, one of the things you can see, and I'm not going to spend time teaching on this a lot, but if you'll go look at it, the wedding of Cana is full of signs. It's full of revelation. Remember that the apostle, John the apostle, wrote this gospel way later than the other gospels were written. So he has all this time to think. He has like 40 years to think about the events and what took place and to review them, and then this running memory of the important things that he wanted to stress. So, and he could see things. When he looked back on what happened that day, he could see revelation and he could see things going on, signs and types, if you will. So you can, I know you already see the resurrection in that. A wedding in the East isn't like ours. We all stand up and here comes the bride, right? But in the East, actually the groom is prominent. And he's the featured one. And he also pays for the whole wedding. And that's a good sign. There's your sign, bride of Christ. There's your sign. He's already paid for you. Amen. He's prayed for you to enter. Now, so this wedding goes on for 2-3 days. It goes on for 3 days. And sometimes they went on for a week. Like I said, Jesus shows up with the five disciples and that he's just called to himself. And so were they invited or were they not invited? It doesn't really say. We know Jesus was invited, but he might have brought these five guys along with him. And more people are showing up that's on the list. That happens. That could have been why they ran out of wine. Maybe those guys drank wine for 3 days. I don't know. But the truth is that Mary knows that they need wine, perhaps before they ran out, before they got there. But one thing we do know, she expected Jesus to do something. Imagine that. She comes up to Jesus with a problem and expects him to do something. Sounds like faith in action. I'm going to come up to Jesus and I'm going to expect him to do something. Amen. So here we go. We read through. They're going through the big celebration. They run out of wine. She comes up to him, says the problem. He says, I don't know why you're telling me about that. I can't do anything about it. My time has not come yet. And so Mary just smiles and she looks over at the workers and says, just do whatever he tells you to do. Now there's good motherly advice. Y'all just do what he tells you to do. Let me just give you a little push here. I'm going to tell you, you're called and you need to do this and just come on in here. So she knew what he was capable of. And Jesus tells the men then to fill up the pots with water, 30 gallons each with water. And they fill them up. And then he says, dip them out and take it to who? The master of the wedding, right? And you know what he says? He says, wow, most people drink the best first and then they drink the lesser wine as the night goes on. But you have saved the best for last. So now it takes a good amount of time to make wine, right? It's a lengthy process. I mean, you have to plant some seeds, you have to grow some vines for a few years, and then you have to make the grapes, get the grapes to grow, and then you have to pick them, and then you have to crush them. So it takes some time. And in general, I think it takes about 3 to 5 years to get them to grow, and then that's average wine, and then it takes 5 to 7 years to make it ferment and make it right. And then if you want really good wine, it's going to be 20 or 30 years. So it has to stay on the shelf. It has to ferment for a long time. Yet in this public miracle right here, Jesus produced the finest quality wine in a split second. Wow. In just a moment of time when it would normally take decades to do. If you're concerned that you don't have enough time to accomplish your dreams, in just a moment of time, what it would normally take, if you're concerned about it, you need to remember, just as Jesus sped up the wine making process, he can speed up things in your life. God can do in a split second what would otherwise take you many years. For us, think about us just here. He wiped away 7 years of payments on this building in one day. And it's coming again. It's almost here. We're going to see the rest of it wiped away. We were supposed to pay for this building for 15 years, and we're going to go way under seven. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Talk about that big tractor, Jesse. I believe he'll do it. What normally would take you about, 20 to 30 years to pay off your house? God is in the accelerating business. He can accelerate that thing. He can pay it off. He can build you a house without a payment. Amen. You just have to put your trust in that ability. He can give you one good break and thrust you 30 years down the road. I've seen it over and over in the body of Christ that he can take what you're putting your hand to, he can take what you're filling up, and he can come in and he can step up above time and move things forward. Well, I don't know how he would do that, because you're not thinking about what Mary was thinking about. Mary said, you can do this. I'm not going to limit you. You are the Messiah. You can do this. You have an anointing of the Messiah on you, and you can see it come to pass. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, we see that things can change very quickly. He can turn your water to wine. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Church, I just want you to be encouraged that God, the God we serve, knows how to speed up natural laws. He knows how to change things. I'm going to bring something to you a little more family, something for our family Wednesday night, but just let me tell you this. I know you're thinking, man, it's taken a long time for justice to happen in America, but I'm going to tell you, go read Psalm 37, because 37 says that just as the grass withers, so will those who do evil. And the reason why it looks like it is because when you first cut grass and it's laying there, it's still got moisture in it. But it's going to run out and wither away. I'm telling you, we will see the end of the corruption. God loves America. And he is unwilling to let it go down the tubes in some sort of socialist regime. Amen. So he can take you further and more quickly than you ever could imagine. And it was just said to you less than 10 minutes ago, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. The power that worked in those pots is working in you. Actually, you want to know the truth? It was the power that worked in the worker who filled up the pot and pulled it out. That's where it went to. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a minute. That's where the power went to and changed it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So if he can do exceeding abundantly above all you're asking or thinking, then it might be time to start asking and thinking. At least do that much. At least ask and think. At least just don't start trying to figure it up with your calculator. Maybe go to God and say, look, I'm at least going to give this a try. I'm at least going to try not to toil. Wait, that doesn't work. Try not to toil. Anyway, you're just going to abandon all that and say, here, you do it. I believe you can do this. I believe you can change this. Not only do things speed up, but they change into the best. That's what the wine did. This is what happened when the water became wine. Water is common. Wine is rare. Especially the wine that Jesus made. You can go from the pit to the palace. You can go from limping to running a marathon. This is the kind of relationship you have with Jesus. Moses turned the water into blood so that the law brings death, but Jesus turned the water into wine, showing that the gladness and grace of his new work. If you think about it, Moses was, well, yeah, I'll say that like that. The water is like the relationship with God in the Old Testament. The wine is like the relationship we have in the New Testament. Can you see that? John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And there's just so much to see in this. And I see something interesting here. Jesus didn't seem to talk to the water, although he taught us to speak to a mountain. He spoke to the fig tree. He spoke to the weather. He spoke to the storms. He was always speaking to things. But in this instant, he spoke to the workers and he said, fill these up and now draw out. Now that's faith working right there. That's what he's saying to us, church. Fill your vessel up and then draw out the good stuff. Draw out the good stuff. Praise God. You're the water pot. You're the clay filled with water. The clay pot filled with water. And when that which is in you is drawn out, it can be the rarest and most beautiful anointing. I hope you're getting this. And the anointing does what we've been saying for 30 years. It removes burdens and destroys yokes. Thank you for that. Once again, God can speed up the natural laws. He can take you further and more quickly than you've ever imagined. Put some faith in that today. Yeah, but the economy. Yeah, but the politics. You're not bound to that, church. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. That kind of stuff can actually work for us. We can go further with this. Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't have to stand in our way. You're not bound to that. You're bound to Jesus. You're bound to the anointing.
That's right.
She presented the problem. He gave the answer. You're going to be at the right place at the right time. You're going to be there. People are going to go out of their way to be good to you. You are surrounded by God's favor. Jesus wants to make the water of ordinary lives infuse them and bring a new fragrance and a new power to them. Your life is not ordinary. Well, like you kind of fooled me. I kind of feel like my life is pretty ordinary. Well, that's why I'm talking to you right now. I'm telling you it is not. You're wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. You're wall-to-wall God. God is on the inside. Jesus on the inside, changing you on the outside. God changing your world around you. He wants to do that, church. Hesed. He wants to come in with that hesed, with that love. Amen? Let's just look just a little bit further. What was Jesus doing when he turned the water to wine? Notice he didn't turn it into Coca-Cola or milk. Because what happened was something that happens also in nature. He's taking natural things, see? People change water into wine all the time. It just takes a long time. They add the ingredients and it changes. It involves a long process, as we talked about, the growth, the gathering, the crushing, the fermentation. But it's a natural process. Mm-hmm. Get this point, too. Mm-hmm. Now, remember C.S. Lewis? How many of you remember C.S. Lewis? Okay. He said that every miracle of Jesus is simply a kind of short-circuiting of a natural process. Oh, that's good. Hey, when you were little and you got a boo-boo, you remember? You fell on your knee, got a boo-boo. See, one of the twins, Jana's kids, came up to me and showed me her Band-Aid on her boo-boo. You know, I got a boo-boo right here. She showed me, and you know, and I was thinking, yeah, I've had a few of those. But what happened? It healed by natural process. Your body has this system that can heal itself. And then you put that anointing on it. And you speed up that process, you're going from something that is common to something that is uncommon, something that is rare. This is who you are. This is what you have on your life, church. You're not living in a common world, having to put up with common things. You have the power of God on your side. Amen. Jesus is leaping over the elements of time, of growth, of gathering, of crushing and fermenting. He's moving through that. He takes an organic, non-living, commonplace substance and turns it into organic liquid, a product of fermentation belonging to the real realm of life. It's the real life. He mastered the process of nature, okay? He will master your process. He is the master. He is the I am. Now, as we finish here, I want to read you this scripture. It says, the beginning of miracles Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and it revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him. There's three factors I want us to look at just before we go. I want to call our attention to them. John looked at this miracle as a sign. When you put all of his writings together, and you see he was trying to lead us to see the pictures. You know how the Old Testament is pictures for us? All the feast and everything, they're pictures for us. Passover, Pentecost, all those things, they're all a picture for us. The prophetic things that have happened and they're going to happen. Well, this actually, the Gospels are actually part of the Old Testament, really. they're sitting in the New Testament, but they happened on that side of the line. And so you get the same pictures here. And so what we want to see here is that signs are not merely miracles. I want you to get that. This miracle was a sign. It was enacted parable, or we would say in Christianese, prophetic enactment. Okay? Y'all with me? Walk with me. You'll catch on here. Just walk with me. These are miracles that have a meaning. This happened. Remember how we've talked about watching for the markers? Watching for the God winks in your life and being grateful about those, and then you get more. God is continually leading you down the path and showing you some things and bringing you into places by the things he does for you. So these things, they're intended to convey a truth that would not otherwise be known. So when you go back this week and you study the wedding at Cana, you're going to see some signs that were in that miracle that are extraordinary. I could preach on this for 10 months, all the things that are written in here. But the signs are a miracle. Have you ever been to a memorial? How many of y'all been to the Alamo? Okay, look at there. Five of y'all? No. Many of y'all have. The Lincoln Memorial? Beautiful, beautiful. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful place to go. They're signs. They're absolutely signs. They tell us what we would not otherwise know. The Alamo, you wouldn't have known. You've gone down to San Antonio, look around, oh, the river walks down here. Did anything ever happen here? But there's history sitting right there. And may I also declare it will not be canceled. But it's telling you something. It's something you wouldn't have known. That wedding of Cana, that water to wine, that experience is telling you things that you need to know about. How God can take common things and make them rare. How God can step up above time, because faith is above time. Now faith is. Faith is not sequence. Faith is above time. You were born out of time, put into time to overcome time. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is how faith works. You get it in the upper realm and then it'll manifest here on the earth. Whatever it is you want. Oh, well, you know, it's all spiritual things. Everything is a spiritual thing. Take a quantum physics class and you'll find out that everything is moving in the other realm first. And it help me, Lord. It reacts to the observer. It reacts to the one talking. There's possibilities and probabilities. You can take your faith and say, I believe, I receive, I have it, and you will have it if you will not doubt in your heart. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. They tell us something that we wouldn't know, to manifest a significance that might have stayed hidden. Remember, mysteries are hidden for you, not from you. You go in there and you look at this and you think, of all the things, turning water into wine was the thing? I mean, come on. And I'm not talking some box wine here, right? This would have had a cork in it nowadays. I know you want to know how I know so much about wine. I read about it. Many years ago. I probably never in my life tasted any fine wine. But the Jesus wine. The good stuff. The good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What's a sign or a picture? It shows the normal outcome of the combination of the human and the divine together, acting together. That's what this picture is. Men fill the pots, God turns it into wine. They fill with water, he turns it into wine. Men do the ordinary, the commonplace, the normal activity, but God touches it and brings it to life and gives it flavor, fragrance, and effect. And that's how my life is today. There's flavor in my life. There's fragrance in my life. There's effect in my life. The same with you. You're not ordinary. You're filled with the goodness of God. You're filled with the anointing of God. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it. Men do ordinary thing, but God brings in that touch and changes things. The second thing is it manifested his glory. In chapter 1, John tells us what Jesus' glory is. It's grace and truth. And we see that here. It comes with truth, and that truth is that he is, here's just, this is it. He's the Lord of nature. And then the third factor is that the disciples believed him. They believed in a God-man who ruled over all the works of God's hands. He used his dominion over the natural world. They saw someone who could handle life in a supernatural way. They saw one who could take a commonplace thing, not out of the ordinary, simple water, and make wine out of it. He made it a source of joy, a source of warmth, a source of beauty. He turned the whole thing around just by saying, hey, go put some water in that pot. Just go do that. And it happened. Amen. You know, people, when they are young, you find excitement and worthwhileness. But when you've been around for a while, the enemy would like to try to cool that off a little bit. But you might want to stop and look around, because what I got out of this right here is that the Lord saved the best for last. The Lord. So those of you who are 65 and older, God saved the best for last. And let me say this to you also. Why was I born in this day? I wish I could have been there with Jesus. Oh, no, you don't. You'll be glad you are with Jesus right now. For you were made for such a time as this. God put you in the Great Awakening. You're right in the middle of the Great Awakening. You're anointed on the level that God is familiar with, but the church is familiar with, but the world is not familiar with, all to the glory of God, and you're going to change this world. Thank you for it, Lord. I just want to say one more thing to you. We need to take Mary's advice, because she looked at those guys and she said, this is my son. Do what he tells you to do. Let's stand up. Just do what Jesus tells you to do. Just do what Jesus tells you to do. He'll come to you and tell you. It's just so wonderful how the Lord will act. Chris and I have had some interaction lately, and we do all the time. We fellowship often. Chris Levere back here, and Janice's husband back there. He's easy, yeah, okay. He had a dream, and I'm not going to tell the dream, but it was an interesting dream, and they were talking about it, and it had to do with me and him. And it was just so interesting, because it kind of looked like, it kind of looked like something could have been coming. And so I said, well, you know, Chris, we know God's a good God, da da da. And he said, Jenna had said the same thing. And so I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, I know you have the real meaning of the dream. And so he said, well, good, we'll talk about it. And so I just forgot about it. And I was out in the garden, and I'm just standing out there minding my own business, looking at the squash that's coming up everywhere. And I heard the Lord say this, go look up, I dreamed, da 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 da. And I went, oh. So I went and looked it up, and it wasn't bad at all. It was about a healing process. And the dream was about his love and loyalty being a healing process for me. It was just so, so beautiful. And I'll explain it to you one day. But see how God just came in. I just gave it to him. I wasn't going to go, oh, no, what are we going to do? I don't know what this means. And, you know, are we going to, what's going to happen? It's, you know, no, we just waited. And then the answer came. And he interrupted me. He interrupted me. I'm just watering the garden, and he interrupts me. But isn't that the way to do it, church? You just go ahead and fill the pot, and then let him do the rest of it. Here it is. You know that day when Martha was fussing about Mary sitting under Jesus? Remember that day? She's in there. Somebody better get in here. She needs to come in here and help me. Tell her to come in here and help me. She should have just taken those beans and just slid them across the floor. If you want people to eat, Jesus, do something about it. We know you did something with that fish dinner before, two-piece fish dinner. You can certainly take care of these beans. I'm going to sit down here and be in the rest. So you might as well just enter the rest. No need to get all fussy. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no toil to it. When you rest, he works. And that's how we're going to live our lives. Amen. You received this today? Well, I hope you take Mary's advice and some of your mother's advice, but mostly Mary's advice. Just listen to the Son. He'll speak to you through the Holy Spirit, and he'll tell you everything you need to know. Amen.